baby, a mother, is she who can take the place of all others, but whose place no one else can take. I say, for a Christian, Jesus is the one who can take the place of all our souls, but whose place no soul can ever take. I have not seen you for a while in this pulpit. I hope I can talk about something joyful on this Mother's Day. But I have to warn you that I'm going to preach some controversial verses that mothers may not like. Fortunately, my message won't be too long. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. I will read it to you. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives. When they see the purity and the reverence of your lives, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and the wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past, who put their hope in God, used to adorn themselves. They submit themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughter if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thanks for the opportunity today as we delve into your word. We pray for some profound insights from your teachings. As we reflect on your word, may your Holy Spirit illuminate our minds and hearts to see the depths of your message. Lord, as we turn our attention to the passage in 1 Peter, please grant us the spirit of understanding to perceive the meaning of submission and the harmony of our marriage. Help us walk in the light of your truth, and may the wisdom from you empower us to live a meaningful life toward your love and grace. We pray in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 to 7. When I was told I would be preaching these verses, I was like, wow, that is not going to be an easy one. Why me? Then I realized that your Pastor Ben won't preach this because Ruth is in the room. Elder David won't preach this because Janet is here. And I know Grace is just back, so let's leave Elder Thomas alone. I, on the other hand, may be safe because my wife Jessica, she usually doesn't come to the English ministry. Do I see her here today? I'm nervous. So buckle up, because I'm driving and I'm nervous. This is what the Bible tells us. Wives, including mothers, submit yourselves to your own husbands. If we were in a fellowship, after reading these verses, there almost certainly would be a female's voice ringing out. Why? Why should women submit themselves to the men? And then almost certainly there would be a male's voice following. Why not? Seems we have disagreement and agreement here. So first of all, we need to know what we agree or disagree on. Apparently, Peter is talking about marriage. He's not using some metaphor here to get people's attention. However, there is an easy mistake people are likely to make in thinking that the Bible hints that men are superior to women. Peter never said men should submit to men, women should submit to men. Nor has the Bible ever told us males should dominate females. Apostle Peter basically says this: a wife should voluntarily and willingly submit to her own husband for the good of her marriage. Why? Because God put husband at the leading role, leading position of the family. Peter used the phrase in the same way. In some of the Bible translations, likewise is the first word in this chapter. But likewise for what? If we turn back to chapter 2, and I believe Pastor Ben preached this last week, Peter gave many examples of submission, such as people subject to human institutions and servants subject to their household masters. It's not because the emperors or governors or masters are higher class people, but simply because they are in a leading position that is authorized by God. More importantly, we see how Jesus Christ became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. We know in doctrine of the Trinity, the Son and the Father are co-equal. But for God's great plan of salvation, the Son must have been willing to humbly submit himself to the Father's will. Likewise, in the same way, when a wife is willing to submit, not to be forced to capitulate to her husband, she is actually submitting to God. And that in itself, as Peter says in chapter 2, verse 20, is commendable before God. God is a God of order. In the beginning, God created Adam, then Eve from the rib of Adam. This is the order of creation. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 3 says, God is not a God of disorder, but of peace. Order is how God rules this universe in peace. But if you wonder why man had to be created before woman, you may have to ask God himself. Peter is not the only one who pointed out that husband should be the leader of the family. Apostle Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 to 24, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husband, is the head of the wife. He's the leader of the family. That doesn't mean the husband gets more food or occupies a bigger portion of the bed. In God's sight, a role of leader is not about privilege, but rather means more responsibilities. When it's time for everyone to give account to God, I think the husband will have to do a lot of reports for the family and himself. We know women and men are different. In the family, one of them needs to take the role of leadership. God chose the husband to be the leader. So he is supposed to take more responsibility. But if a husband gives up his leadership and ignores his responsibilities, he shouldn't blame his wife for doing his job. In the book of Judges, the female prophet Deborah, who happens to be my wife's favorite character in the Bible, she led the Israelites to defeat General Sisera's chariot army when Barak, who is the leader of Israel, did not want to lead and was afraid of fighting alone. Deborah said to Barak, "Because of the course you are taking, the honor will not be yours, for the Lord will deliver Sisera into the hands of a woman." Sometimes wives may have these questions. What if my husband is not as smart as he seems to be? Like that guy who just shouted, "Why not?" in the fellowship. What if my husband doesn't obey God, doesn't read the Bible, and doesn't know God's word as much as I do? Peter's answer to this question is, if any of the husbands do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of their wives when they see the purity and the reverence of their lives. So don't worry. If you are with God, you should keep the faith that God can change and will change your husband by your conduct. Verse 5. This is the way the holy women who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. When you want to change your husband, you are not putting your hope in your husband. You put your hope in God. As Paul also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 16, how do you know, wife, whether you will save your husband? Or how do you know, husband, whether you will save your wife? How can a husband change? He is attracted and persuaded by his wife's beauty. Not physical appearance, but inner beauty. In Peter's view, the beauty of women is not about elaborate hairstyles and wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Okay, Peter doesn't say ladies cannot wear Tiffany or Prada, but all those external beauties are perishable. Your hair will grow wider. More and more wrinkles will appear around your eyes, no matter how much expensive product La Mer you put on your face. My wife, Jessica, knows exactly I don't care about her outward adornment. So for a long time ago, she stopped dyeing her white hair. Peter says, only when you focus on inner beauty can you stay calm the whole time you submit to your husband, which is something very precious in God's sight. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30 says the same. charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. The submission actually shows your fear to God. So that covers the submission. Now comes the part around the wife's delight. Verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives. Respect that they are the submitting partner, but equally empower in their duty to God, and treat them with respect. They are heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Do this in the same way as Christ did to his church. In doing this, you also show your reverence to God. Paul continues in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. Each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Husband, as the leader of the family, you should be considerate. Love your wife as you love yourself. Nourish and cherish her. In the past NBA All-Star weekend of 2024, there was a new event in which the three-point king, Stephen Curry, competed with the three-point queen, Sabrina Ionescu. The NBA's three-point line is 23 feet, 9 inches from the basket. And the WNBA, which is the women NBA stripe, is 22 feet, 1.7 inches away. Ionescu chose to compete from the NBA distance. She said she wanted to continue to push boundaries and echo the playing field. She did use the slightly smaller WNBA ball instead of the NBA one Curry used. Now, if you watch that contest, you might notice that Curry did not take advantage of the three-point line. He actually shot from one step away from the three-point line to show his silent respect to Ionescu. This is what I see as considerate, about cherishing and caring. Gentlemen, you don't need to say anything. You don't need to boast, I am caring. But show your love in all the details of life, silent but present. By the way, as a Curry fan, I'm glad that he eventually won the contest. The wife respects her husband, while the husband loves and cares for his wife. This is the secret of a harmonious marriage. As we already discussed, God created men and women to be different. In the late last century, there was a book called Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Where? Venus, by John Gary. It's an old book for most of you, but at that time, it was fancy and popular. About 15 million copies sold. It has a lot of interesting ideas and facts regarding men and women. For example, when facing stress, the book says men would temporarily withdraw, retreating to their caves, which can be bars, garage, or their own room. It could be a bathroom in my case. This is like a timeout so that men can keep distance from the problem and relax for a while before he has to face it again. This is hard for women to understand, though. Women, on the contrary, when getting stressed, their natural reaction is to talk to her close friends, even if the talking doesn't provide any effective solutions. That is, men try to retreat, and women try to get closer. Men don't want to show their stress, they are stressed. And women want others to understand they are stressed. Men need respect, and women need love and care. So, wives, if you see your husband not working on a problem you are concerned about, be patient. Give him a little time. Use a gentle and quiet gesture to encourage him. And husband, if you know your wife is concerned about some problem you cannot quickly sort out, show some care. Talk to her about it and promise her you will figure it out soon. Let us remember this. In our marriage set by God, we need to nurture, protect, and uplift each other in a partnership rooted in God's unconditional love. Let's be considerate and compassionate toward our spouse, to bear each other's burdens with kindness, and to extend God's grace in times of disagreement. As Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21 says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. This is very important. Finally, let me use a few more minutes to talk about some thoughts in my mind when I study the verses and prepare the preaching. God is really amazing. He set up marriage on the earth, letting men and women enjoy the love and the relationship with each other, like the Trinity God enjoying the love and relationship among the three co-equal personalities. When sin entered the world and humans were separate from God, God still designated marriage to be a way that we can taste the beauty and sweetness of reconciliation with God in the future. However, we know some parts of our good marriage are ruined by our sins, from both men and women. So God gave us His Word, and by incarnation, Himself came to the Word, bringing us the gospel to fix our problems, including our marriage. The amazing part is the gospel is not always peaceful and soothing for our souls. It contains messages that may provoke us or maybe make us sad and feel pain, even convicting our hearts. Pastor Tim Keller once said, only if your God can outreach and challenge you will you know that you worship the real God and not a figment of your imagination. If your God never disagrees with you, you might just be worshiping an idealized version of yourself. This is again like our marriage. Your wife or your husband may not always agree with you. They challenge you, make you unhappy, and make you outrageous. But when you are looking for your soulmate, you turn to your spouse. There was a 2013 movie, Her, telling a story about a lonely writer, Theodore, who developed a relationship with an old AI operating system called OS1, giving itself a girl's name, Samantha. Samantha is caring, warm, understanding, and funny. She pleased him a lot, helped him solve problems, never fought with him, made him happy until he fell in love with her. However, eventually, it's only artificial intelligence, and there is no soul inside it. When Theodore found out some truth about Samantha, he was devastated. Okay, I'm not gonna spoil it. Your wife or husband does not only care about your behavior, they should also care about your soul. In marriage, it's really two souls being connected to each other. It should be a soul-to-soul relationship. Likewise, the relationship between the gospel and us is also soul-to-soul. The gospel does not only impact your life, but more your soul. On the other side, you want to understand the soul of the text in the scripture. When we read the Bible, I hope we can read it as if it's a love letter from our beloved one. You read every word again and again. Wonder what he or she hints at you between the lines. And you are always expecting, eager to see more from him or her. This love letter touches your heart, makes you willing to change yourself for him or for her. I will close with Hebrew chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, thanks for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. In your wisdom, you have told us the essence of marriage. You have called the wife and husband to love and honor one another. So, help us cultivate reverence and esteem for each other's roles. And when we walk in humility on your way, let us adorn ourselves with the fitting beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. When we celebrate on this special day dedicated to mothers, we ask you to bless every mother with your abundant grace. May they find joy and fulfillment with all precious memories of raising their children. May your presence continue to abound in all the mothers' lives, today and always. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen.